come back, Amy, at 10 till, that'd be great. Because I'll have another 30 minutes to preach at that point. Hopefully not. We will be having a baptism afterwards, and I wanted the children to see the baptism. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We are coming to the end of our study of the book of Ephesians that we started back in August 2 years ago, almost 2 years and 4 months. So the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I had a pastor who told me, he said, now when you go through a book and you go verse by verse, nobody can accuse you of picking on them. And so that's one of the advantages of doing that. And this morning, we come to a very, very interesting two verses. We're going to be looking at verses 21 and 22. I have a book here. It's entitled Quality Friendship by Gary Enrig. And this is the title of our message this morning, Quality Friendship. And in his first chapter, he makes a very interesting observation. He says, the world is filled with lonely people. And there are many Christians who find themselves in that position. We are surrounded by people whom we know, but not many of them could we consider genuinely close friends. And that is not the problem reserved for one age group. Teenagers grapple with problems of friendship, and so do young adults, young couples, middle-aged adults, senior citizens. In fact, the writer says, I have been astounded to realize how many very successful businessmen lack quality friendships. At every stage of life, we need to know how to build solid friendships. He goes on and says, some observers have called loneliness the most pervasive an important problem of the 20th century. And of course, we're now in the 21st century. And he says it is hard to dispute the conclusion of the American novelist Thomas Wolfe, who says, quote, the whole conviction of my life now rests upon the belief that loneliness, far from being a rare and curious phenomenon, peculiar to myself and a few other solitary men, is the central and inevitable fact of human existence. We are told that after a visit to the palace to visit Queen Victoria, the great poet Alfred Lloyd Tennyson commented, quote, up there in all her glory and splendor, she was lonely, unquote. Nothing, whether it is royal status, wealth, public success, or bustling activism, can remove that need we have for other people. Why is it that loneliness, the writer says, and the need for friendship are such universal problems? Well, he says the answer is to be found in God's Word. Now, I want to this morning to biblically address the need for friendship. And we see that need for friendship is described in the two verses I'm going to show you this morning. Verse 21, after Paul had dealt with standing against the wiles of the devil, by putting on the whole armor of God, and by praying, he concludes his letter in verses 21 and 22 by saying, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. We see the Apostle Paul talking about relationships. And I want us to understand that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, if you're a student of the Bible, you know he had many friends. We could talk about the Apostle Peter. He was a friend to Paul. We could look at James, the half-brother of Jesus, was a friend to Paul's. We, of course, when we identified Paul's missionary journeys, recognize he had a close friend in Barnabas. Or if you're a student of the Bible, you've heard of the replacement of Barnabas at one point with a man named Silas. He was a friend of Luke, who wrote our Gospel of Luke. He was a friend of Timothy, whom we have a couple books in the New Testament on. And he was a friend of a lot of people, but one friend you may not have ever heard of, unless you're a student of the Bible. And that friend is Tychicus. And Tychicus is really an example that we see about friendship. And yet we're also going to see how the Apostle Paul was not only a friend of Tychicus, but he was a friend of the Ephesian church. So I have, as a result, entitled the message after the name of that book, Quality Friendship. And we're going to look at two things this morning. We're going to look at, first of all, the kind of friend you should have. And I'm very curious if you have these kind of friends, because if you have the right kind of friend, it will help you. And even though it's not stated as such, it will help you in your stand against the devil. And then secondly, we're not only going to see the kind of friend you should have, but we're going to secondly see the kind of friend you should be. Because Paul does show us that we should be the right kind of friend. So I'm going to ask God to help us now, to help us to be able to understand some lessons here, to help us to be able to understand quality friendship. Let's pray. Father, now I ask that you would just fill me with your Spirit, keep the atmosphere calm, and Lord, just help us, Father, to be able to listen to your word, help us to know the lessons you would have us to have. I pray that Satan would not get a foothold in our service today. For Jesus' sake, amen. So first of all, the kind of friend you should have. Well, Tychicus was that kind of friend. And you're going to see that Tychicus is described, first of all, verse 21, a beloved brother. He's described as a faithful minister. And then we're going to see that the book of Colossians, which was written around the same time of Ephesians, talk about Tychicus, how he was a fellow servant. Now there's five words that we see regarding Tychicus that will help you to know what kind of friend you have. And I'm curious, who are your close friends? And do you have this kind of a friend? First of all, you'll see that he is a brother. Look at there at verse 21. He's a beloved brother. Now, a brother in Christ. Now, In other words, he was a Christian. You know, there's a lot of rich people, famous people, who could be called a lot of things in the corporate world. But when eternity is said and done, they will wish they could have been called a brother. A brother is someone who is part of your family. Now, I found it interesting that when I became a Christian at the age of 16, I was saved through the influence of my fleshly brother. Actually, he was my half-brother. His name is Ron. And Ron and I came to Christ right around the very same time. He came to Christ first. Through his influence, I came to Jesus Christ. And he was my brother. But I found it interesting that I went to a church. It was called the First Free Will Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan. And it was there that I noticed that they were calling each other brother and sister. They would call, you know, I think of brother and sister Myers. I still envision him today. He's a big old guy, and good to see you today. He was one of the ushers at the door. There was Brother Picklesheimer. Now that's a funny name, but he had a hand that would be twice the size of my hand, and you dare not shake hands with him casually, because you'd shake his hand and he'd just, so you'd have to come in there tight. How you doing there, Brother Picklesheimer? Hey, how you doing there, Brother Dave? Then there was Brother and Sister Shepherd. And then, of course, the pastor didn't call him pastor. He was Brother McFadden. And I could go on and on about these brothers and sisters in Christ. And one thing I learned, that they were people who knew the Lord. I mean, you would just talk about Jesus around them. And it was one of those things where they were brethren. But as many as received him, the scripture tells us in John 1:12, to many as received him, to them are called the sons of God. He was a brother. Tychicus was a brother. And let me just say that, you know, Jesus had many friends. He was a friend of sinner. But he had also some intimate friends. And we should have Christian intimate friends. You know, they say that one bad apple will do what? Destroy the whole bunch. Why? Because a wrong friend will destroy you. You know, we're told that Amnon had a friend in the book of Second Samuel, and that friend ruined Amnon. So I'm saying to you that we should have Christian friends. Do you have Christian friends? Now you got to be careful there, right? Because everybody says I'm a Christian, and yet you ask them. You say you're a Christian, that's wonderful. Tell me about the time you got saved. Well, what do you mean, time I got saved? I've always been saved. Well, that's impossible. Because there's a point in life when a person by faith receives Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior. Or you could ask your so-called friend and say, well, you say you know Christ, tell me about it. And they tell you, well, I got baptized. We're going to have a baptism here in a little bit. But you know what? That doesn't make a person a Christian. You know, the fact is, there's a lot of religious people who say they're religious, but they don't know Jesus. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, preached? Have we not cast out demons? In other words, they were exorcists. Have we not done many marvelous works? They did miracles. But Jesus says, I will say unto them in that day, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So when the Apostle Paul was making reference to a man, he says he's a brother. But I want you to see, secondly, the second word, it's the word beloved. It's the word we get the word agape, which is agape, loved. But what's interesting, he was not just simply a brother who loved, he was a brother who was loved. And he was a Christian who is loved. He had a testimony. See, again, sometimes people say, well, I'm a Christian. But they don't have a Christian testimony. You know, a Christian testimony is a testimony that says, you know, that person, they really love God. That person is it indicates that he knows the Lord. He is loved. If you hold your hand here, turn to the book of 1 John. This is a characteristic of somebody who is a Christian who fellowships and worships the same as other Christians who fellowship and worship. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, it says, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Now, what a name to be called the child of the devil. Well, he's an unbeliever. So you want to know the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil? He says, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And notice these words, neither he that loveth not his brother. If you look over to chapter 4, verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So what we find here is that a person who is a Christian loves the brotherhood of Christ. They love the brethren. Now, you can't get along with every Christian. But I tell you what, there are some Christians that are gems. And they are people that maybe in your mind, is coming to your mind right now, who has been a real blessing to you. And you can say, that's somebody that I just think the world of. Because they live the Christian life. You know, it's one thing to have a brother, but it's another thing to have a loving brother as your friend. You know, the Apostle Paul was very careful even when choosing Christian friends. You know, someone says, well, I'm going to get married. Oh, you are? Okay, great. Who are you marrying? Well, this person. And they name that person. And are they saved? Well, no, but I'm working on it. That's a very dangerous thing to do. And the Apostle Paul, we're told, for instance, in Acts chapter 15, there was a man named Marcus who eventually redeemed himself because he wrote the book of Mark. But he was a man who had been unfaithful. He did not go with Paul and Barnabas to the ministry. And Acts 15:38 says, Paul thought it not good to take him with him. Paul was very careful. He said, that guy will ruin you. Now, Barnabas saw it differently. But the point I'm wanting to make is that Paul was careful about not only someone who called himself a Christian, but somebody who had a testimony as being a Christian. And if I was a young person, I wouldn't marry somebody who did not have a testimony that is loved among other Christians. I wouldn't marry someone like that. You know, as a parent, don't we tell our children, be careful about the kind of friends you have? Well, this is why church is important. That's why it's important that you are in God's house and you are developing Christian friends, not just people who call themselves Christians, but they have a testimony of being a godly Christian. Be careful about that. Number three, we see not only was he a brother, not only was Tychicus a beloved brother, but thirdly, he was a minister. Look there in verse 21. A faithful minister. Now that word minister is the word we get, diakonos, which is a deacon. Now, diakonos doesn't always refer to the official position of a deacon. But it has the idea of, does anybody know, what does diakonos stand for? A servant, it's right here. In other words, what we find is that he was somebody who not only wanted everyone's attention on him, but he served others. Jesus said in Mark 9:35, he that is greatest among you is servant of all. Jesus illustrated that. If you remember the story in the Gospels, Jesus was in, he was doing the Last Supper. And what did he do? He started washing the disciples' feet. You know, a servant is somebody who will wash dirty feet. They'll get in there and they'll get their nose dirty. And they will serve the Lord. And there's different ministries in which you can serve. I was talking to our Sunday school class this morning and talking about using your talents. And finding out, okay, I want to serve the Lord. I want to be used of God. I want God to take my gifts and my abilities. And if it means cleaning toilets, I'll clean the toilets. If it means sometimes working in a way that would be somewhat, in many ways, not as honoring as you'd want, they want to serve. And finding a friend, find a friend who is truly interested in other people. They're not always clamoring for your attention. Now, they want attention, but they're always looking out and how can I be a blessing to others? But notice here, not only was he a brother, not only was he beloved as a brother, not only was he a servant, but what kind of a servant was Tychicus? What does it say? He is faithful. You know, I cannot think of something better to say about anybody is to say they are dependable. When they are given a job, they do the job. When they say they'll be there, they show up. You know, there's a lot of people who say, oh, I'll be there, and they won't be there. As a matter of fact, some people have such a reputation, you say, yeah, right. I'll believe it when I see it. So, find somebody who is faithful. You could count on them. Paul chose faithful Christians as his friend. That didn't mean he wasn't friendly to everybody, but that does mean that he said, you know, I am not going to allow people around me like Marcus who is going to contaminate me. I'm going to be my closest friend are people who I can count on. You know, there's some people you have as a friend. You could be in the middle of the night and something happens and you wouldn't think twice about giving them a call. You know what I'm talking about? And there's other people you're saying, I don't know, they're not going to like this. So he was faithful. He was active, serving. And really what we're going to see is that Tychicus was an active person in his church. He served the Lord in his church. He didn't just go to church and somebody wondered who he was. People knew him. They loved him. And the scripture tells us that he was faithful. He was dependable. He was not only going to church, but serving in the church. Now the fifth word I want you to see, and you'll hold your hand in Ephesians, go over a couple books to Colossians, and here we have a neighboring book. And almost word for word, you'll see the same thing said about Tychicus. And we're told in chapter 4 of the book of Colossians. So you have Ephesians, the next book is Philippians, Colossians. I used to always tell people, the way to remember Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, always remember General Electric Power Company. Galatians, E, Ephesians, Power, Philippians Company, Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, look at verse 7. In all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother. We already saw that, right? He was a faithful minister. We saw that. But he was also a fellow servant. And he says in verse 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. And notice who is with him when he is going to be sent to Colossae, as well as Ephesus. Verse 9, guess who is with him? Onesimus. Onesimus, you know that book, the book of Philemon. Philemon was a slave owner, and he had a slave named Onesimus. And so as we learned, as we studied the friends of Paul, that Paul, when he sent the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, he took with him, Tychicus brought with him the slave. Now I wanted you to see that, but notice here in verse 7, he is called a fellow servant. That's one word. So what do we know about Tychicus? He was a fellow servant. That word is the word doulos. In other words, he was a co-slave. He was a bond servant. This is a term that was very endeared to the Apostle Paul. Paul was known as a servant, a slave to Jesus Christ. And Paul says, now Tychicus, he's a co-slave. Now how did Tychicus serve? Let's do a little Bible study. There are 5 verses that mention this guy that you may not have ever heard about. The first verse is in the book of Acts. Now, hold your hand in Ephesians and go back to the book of Acts. Now, we're going to see the kind of ministry the fellow co-laboring Tychicus did. Now, Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul, now we have to set the stage in this. The Apostle Paul had a burden for the churches in Jerusalem. Why? Because there was a famine. And in that famine, there were Christians who were suffering. So Paul, under the inspiration of God, I'm convinced, was convinced by the Holy Spirit that one of the ways to show that Gentiles and Jews are one in Christ, as he describes in Ephesians, let's take an offering for the Jewish Christians so that we can take it back and be a blessing to these Jewish people who had a very hard time understanding how could Gentiles and Jews be one. So Paul takes up an offering. Now, as he's going around different churches collecting money, and he's going to take this money back to Jerusalem, and the question could come up, what's he doing with that money? So according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we don't have time to develop that, Paul brought with him some accountability partners. So that these were representatives of different churches in Paul's missionary journeys. Verse 4, there was from Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, that's Timothy. And of Asia, which would be around the Ephesian area, he brought with him Tychicus and Trophimus. Now, in other words, what we have here is we now have a trusted member of this Ephesian church or the Colossian church who was trusted to hold accountable that the money would make their destination. The second verse we've already read in Ephesians. The third verse we already read in Colossians. So what? Now let me ask you a question. When Paul wrote Ephesians and he wrote Colossians and he said, I'm going to send with me Tychicus, where was Paul? He was in prison in Rome. So somehow Tychicus probably went to Jerusalem. And how did Paul get to Rome? He was imprisoned. And when he was imprisoned, so there's an indication possibly here that Tychicus stood by his side all the way back to Rome. And Paul says, okay, I'm going to write this letter to Ephesus, and I'm going to write this letter to Colossae, and I'm also going to send this slave, Onesimus, and I want you, Tychicus, to go back to your home church. The fourth verse is found in the book of Titus. If you go over Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Now, Paul is writing to a young preacher named Titus. And he says to Titus in verse 12 of chapter 3, I am going to send Artemas or Tychicus. So there's a possibility, if it wasn't Artemas, It was Tychicus who, it says, when I send him to you, be diligent to come to me. Now this is after Paul had been in prison. He had come out of prison. And basically Tychicus replaced the preacher in Crete. The last verse that we see is in 2 Timothy. Now, 2 Timothy is right before the book of Titus. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it tells us in verse 12, Paul writing Timothy says, Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. In other words, he was going to send Tychicus to get Timothy to come back with the parchments, the books of the Bible. And Tychicus was going to replace Timothy. And tradition says that Tychicus became a leading pastor in Ephesus, though Timothy was as well. You see how he labored with Paul? He was by his side. The point is, have friends who serve Jesus Christ with you. I enjoy getting around a lot of Christians. But I really enjoy being with Pastor Nathan. You know why? We're in this together. And you know what? I enjoy serving the Lord with you. Why? Because we're in this together. I feel really very sorry, and this is not to impugn anybody's character, but I feel very, very sad when people don't get involved in church. And it's wonderful to go to church. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're just going to church. But if you're a Christian, you're serving the Lord. Tychicus, he was a Christian. He was loved. He served, as you can see with Paul. He didn't have necessarily a big upfront ministry. He just served. He was faithful. And he was a co-laborer. Now, friend, can I use the word friend? Make that kind of person your close friend. Be friendly to everybody. Wrong kinds of friends will ruin you. You need a friend who's going to encourage you to live for God. And it's to your detriment if you don't do that. Well, that's the kind of friend you should have. But secondly, I want you to see the kind of friend you should be. Now, I only have a couple minutes, so I'm going to finish this. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, two things you're going to see. In verse 22, there's what they call a henna clause. Not Santa Claus, but a henna clause. Those are purpose statements. In verse 22, he said, I sent unto you Tychicus, because he could be trusted. He was kind of the human missionary letter. He says, I've sent him for the purpose, two of them. Number one, that you would know our affairs. Now, let me just say this. In other words, let's put it down in our vernacular. He wanted to know how he wanted to let them know how he was doing. Why would he want to do that? Nobody cares how you're doing. Right? I come up to you on a Sunday morning, how you doing? Somebody comes up to you and you say, you know, how are you doing? And you start telling them all your problems. And they say, man, that's more than I bargained for. I mean, do you really want to know how I'm doing? If you look over to chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, verse 13, it says, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations. That word, fainting not, means they were losing heart. They were discouraged. Their beloved Paul got arrested. It wasn't like email that you found out the next moment. There was all this traveling of different people to be the mail. And they heard that Paul was imprisoned. And they were disheartened. They were discouraged. So Paul does the biblical thing and tells them how he's doing. And if you look there at verse 20, he would have been enslaved. And he says, basically, pray for me. He informed them. You know, I knew of a guy. He was in the military. His mother had to get the Red Cross on him to let her know how he was doing. Now, if you're like that, I'm not thinking of anybody in here, but I know of a guy that was that way. Why would we not keep people informed about our lives? So I'm being humble. No, that's not. That's being very selfish. That's not humility. Sometimes we don't want to, make a big deal. And I think it's important that you open up to people. And you open up and you share your burdens. And I know there's risk involved because sometimes when you open yourself up to people, they can use that against you. That's why you want to have a good friend. Someone that you can just open up to. Tell them your fears. Tell them your problems. Some people will not take the risk of being open to others. They carefully construct a wall around them that nobody can penetrate because I'm my own person. But you know, to be able to have friends, you need to open yourself up to other friends. And then the second purpose clause, and I've got to bring this to an end, that he might comfort your hearts. We saw that in Colossians. Do you know what that word comfort is? It's the word that comes from a word, we get the word paraclete. Paraclete, Jesus said, when I go away, I'll send another comforter. This is a form of that word. A paraclete is somebody who comes alongside of you. Paul says, I want to be a blessing to you, Ephesians. How did he encourage them? That's the idea. How did he do it? Well, he wrote Ephesians. What did he say in Ephesians? I want to be a blessing to you. We're told in chapter 1, verse 15, 16, I pray for you. We're told in chapter 3, 14 through 16, I pray that you would be strengthened. He says, I want you to be filled with the fullness of God, and I want you to treat your family right. And I want you to be thankful. I want you to be singing. I want you to be filled with the Spirit. I want you to stand against the devil. What a friend. Some people say, well, I never talk to my friend about the Lord. What kind of friend is that? Are you an encouragement to your friends? Do you share with them spiritual encouragements? Do you serve like Tychicus? So, wonderful verses. We need to learn by God's grace to have good friends in our life. Brothers and a good testimony who serve other Christians who are faithful in the Lord's work and they labor alongside of you. Those are great friends. And if you don't do that, it's to your detriment. And be a good friend. Be sensitive to their needs. Meet their needs. Be encouraging to them. One of my best friends started a church 6 months after I did, and his name was Pastor Dale Heffernan. He and I visited together, we wept together, we cried together, we disagreed together, we agreed together. And it's fascinating to have a friend like that. We went on a cruise together, of all things. We took our spouses. My wife's best friend is Jody Heffernan. I said, oh, Jody's texting tonight. Yeah. Quality friendship. Now, Father, we pray that you would work in our hearts. God, I just ask that you would help, if there be anybody here that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, that they would be saved. If there be anybody here that is saved, Lord, help them to find and develop good friendships. And Lord, we ask that you would help us in our weaknesses. We are stubborn folks. But you are so faithful to us. Thank you for being our friend. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, maybe God is speaking to you. And you say, I don't have a friend like that. Well, maybe try to find one. But one thing you can do is to be the kind of friend you ought to be to your friends. Let's stand to our feet, no one looking around, Christians praying. God is dealing with your heart. And you need to respond to this invitation. There's nothing wrong with that. We'd love to help you. As the pianist plays, you come. expect you to respond to God. Please don't be as those who have hardened their hearts to the voice of the Lord. Seated. Brother Chris, you can head on back now. We are going to have this baptism this morning, and I hope that you will be blessed by the fact, you know, people still save people, and God still saves people. Amen. People are being saved. And I trust that as you sing a couple hymns, Pastor Nathan's going to come and lead you, that this would be a blessing to your heart, Pastor Nathan.
We're going to take our hymnals and actually open up to hymn number 319, the hymn that Mrs. Byford was just playing, a good reminder for us about our salvation, that we come to God not having our lives already cleaned up or making sure that it's our righteousness. But the Bible says we come to Him just as we are, without one plea. We don't have any plea to come before God other than the fact that He shed His blood for me. We'll sing the first verse, the second verse, and then we'll sing the fifth verse. So we'll skip from the second verse to the fifth verse, and then we will sing the last. Let's stand hymn number 319 as we think about salvation and the picture we're going to see of it with this baptism here in just a few minutes. The first. Just as